Supernova are very long-standing problem, but recently the aspects of supernova connected with non-spherical non-sphericity with jet formation are becoming very popular because of gamma ray bursts and connection of supernova with gamma ray bursts, which have been discovered in the last years. So just to show you first, the only supernova which was observed by eye in our epoch, it's a supernova 1987 in Large Magellanic Cloud, and what we see now, it's the remnants. It's this is probably shock, and this is what is illuminated by supernova, and the origin of this is not yet clearly understood, but it's just an example. The content of my talk will be the following. First, I'll speak about origin of supernova, how they emerge from the evolution of stellar evolution, then a magnetorotational mechanism qualitatively, then calculations of 1D calculations, 2D numerical method, then a description of collapse, and development of magnetorotational instability, which was found in numerical calculations. And then I'll speak about jet formation in magnetorotational supernova and possibility of symmetry breaking and formation of rapidly moving pulsars. So supernova is one of the most powerful explosions in the universe, and it energy which is observed in kinetic and mainly in kinetic and also in radiation is about 10 to 51 ergs. This is the end of evolution of rather massive stars with mass more than 8 solar masses. The explosion mechanism divided into two big groups. First one is a thermonuclear explosion. This is an explosion of degenerate carbon-oxygen core, which is formed at the end of evolution of stars with moderate mass, with mass about between 8 and 10 maybe. The degenerate core is unstable to nuclear perturbations because the increase of temperature does not lead to increase of pressure. So the thermal instability developed, and thermonuclear explosion disrupt all the star, and we see supernova called supernova 1A without any remnants inside. Another class of supernova is a core collapse supernova, which are accompanied by formation of the neutron star, and the source of energy is the gravitational energy of which is released when the star of the size of white dwarf is transformed into size of neutron star. The gravitational energy release is about 10 to 53 ergs, which is much more than observed energy of supernova. But most of its energy is carried away by neutrino, which is very weakly interacting. So, so the transformation of the neutrino energy into the kinetic energy is a questionable problem, and up to now it is not clear if it can be can produce supernova. At least many new calculations, when you increase the precision, explosion disappears. These supernova are type 2, where the hydrogen is observed in the spectra, and type 1bc, where hydrogen is not observed, but neutron star remnants is present. So magnetorotational explosion, of course, it's also based on the energy of gravitational energy released during the collapse, but part of this energy is transformed into rotational energy. It's about maybe up to 10% can be transformed into the rotational energy. But if there is a magnetic field, then this rotational energy can be used for producing an explosion. And this is a magneto-rotational explosion, which I'll speak today. Just to show you how which stars can produce supernova. This is a main sequence. This is a stars which burn hydrogen. They form rather along one line. And only stars which mass more than 8 can be produce supernova. All these stars are transformed into white dwarfs. So the calculations does not permit to go far, because some effects like mass loss and other make calculations very difficult. So, but combining observations and calculations, this scheme here is probably very realistic. So you see here that stars with mass, for example, 5 mass solar mass goes to white dwarf, and star with 25 solar mass produce supernova type 2 in this region. Of this is logarithm temperature, surface temperature, and this is logarithm of luminosity. This very luminous star should be a presupernova, and it is not yet clear where they are. Are they a red one, which is here, or they are blue? It was supposed previously that most of them should be red giants, supergiants, but supernova 1987 happens to be a blue supergiant as a presupernova star. But the evolution is accompanied by formation of such a loops because of thermal instability. So any point of these loops can be the point of explosion. There are other indications that a mechanism of supernova is not pure spherically symmetric, not pure neutrino, because most supernova remnants are non-spherical. They have such a barrel-like structure, which probably indicate that matter is expelled mainly in the equatorial plane. Also, stars are rotating and have magnetic fields. And after discovery of pulsars in 68, it was clear that neutron stars are also rapidly rotating and have very large magnetic field. Soon after that, I suggested that this rotation could be more, much stronger at the initial stage and could produce supernova. Because at that time, it was already becoming clear that neutrino has difficulties in producing supernova. So magneto-rotational mechanism qualitatively is a following. It's very simple. If you have a rapidly rotating with star with strong differential rotation and magnetic field, then magnetic field is amplified. Toroidal component is amplified. Magnetic pressure increases, and it increases until it becomes dynamically important. At that point, some waves, some perturbations appear, which is distributed over the medium with falling density, transforming into the shock, and this shock is giving supernova. This is qualitative picture. And this first that was checked in one-dimensional calculations soon after 76, and the paper with Popov and Samohin. And here we consider a one-dimensional cylindrical model with a rigidly rotating core and differentially rotating envelope. And magnetic field was pure radial, coming from the surface of the inner core. Ideal magnetohydrodynamic equations have been used, calculated, and as a result, we had a real explosion, because what this qualitative picture which I described you just a minute ago was exactly what happens there. So you see that magnetic field lines increase, then after strong twisting, there is a outburst. Here, the parameters of this problem is a ratio of magnetic energy to gravitational energy. In these calculations, we have taken a rather large ratio, very large magnetic field, which is becoming dynamically important after few circles. But a few years later, we have done this in the more realistic magnetic field with alpha up to 10 to minus 8. It's already correspond to present magnetic field about 10 to 13, 10 to 14, what is close, already happens. But it happens that the result of explosion, practically the energy of explosion, practically does not depend on this value. Only the time of explosion is increasing. And it's increasing proportionally to square root of alpha. One interesting consequence of magnetic rotational explosion is that the core in the process of explosion can change its direction. You see, here it's changed direction for very high value of magnetic field. Here we, in this calculation, we did not reach this, but later, in later calculations, we have obtained that even for smaller magnetic field, the core can change its direction. And it is not clear if it happens in reality or not, because it takes time to, and some combination of parameters. And here are plots for energies. It's how initial energy of rotation is decreasing. And it's the oscillations, which magnetic rotational oscillations will come to this end. Kinetic energy of outburst is increasing and reach here about 4%. But in other variants, it reaches about 10%. So the main results from 1D calculations is that it has efficiency about 10%. So about 10% of rotational energy can be transformed into the energy of explosion. The initial rotational energy is of order of magnitude less than energy of neutrino, but the efficiency is much higher, and this is the reason why this mechanism can work, is probably working. So the ejected mass is about 0.1 solar mass, for collapsing core about 1.2 solar mass. So all these values are very good fit to core collapse supernova. And time of explosion is proportional to 1 over square root of alpha, which is ratio of magnetic energy to gravitational energy. But of course, these one-dimensional calculations are very limited, and it cannot be, we could not rely on these kind of calculations, because in 2D and 3D, different instabilities can happen, and which could prevent, could change completely the picture. So the two-dimensional calculations have been started about 15 years ago, and now we have, after this long work, we have recently obtained the positive results. So the problem is that supernova have collapse, it has very large change of density, about 6 orders of magnitude. So the scheme should be adjusted, it should be adopted scheme or something like this. Second is that this particular mechanism of supernova, which is magnetic rotational, has is a hard system, because it has two different times of magnetic field amplification, which is slow, large time, and time of collapse, hydrodynamical time, which is much less. So this make problems in using the explicit numerical schemes. So the implicit numerical scheme was developed here, which is based on also on Lagrangian coordinates, which also has advantages on Eulerian. Before telling you about our results, I would like to show you the first calculations, first 2D calculations made by Leblanc and Wilson in 1970. This paper appears practically several days after my paper was appeared, but of course it was independently. But they considered rather unrealistic case because they considered initial white dwarf with a current, circular current situated on the periphery of this dwarf. You see the contours of magnetic field lines. It's when density is about 5 times less than central density. And magnetic field was very large, in magnetic pressure here was very large. So during the collapse, they didn't feel any twisting, because magnetic dynamical action of magnetic field started immediately. And as a result, because they have a dipole type of magnetic field, they obtained some kind of jet production along rotational axis. This is rotational axis. You see, this is contours of density distributions. It's rather mild jet explosion. We managed to repeat this kind of calculations with a more realistic distribution of magnetic field, and I'll show you results later. More realistic distribution of magnetic field. No, I think the more realistic to have a current inside the core, not outside. No, it seems to me. It's a problem of test. So here is the different scheme which is developed mainly by Ardelian and his collaborators, and also Maisenka, my collaborator, took part on late stage for specific astrophysical applications. The scheme is fully conservative. So I will not comment because it's a technical problem. What is very important is that scheme has a grid reconstruction. You cannot preserve this. It's based on triangular grid, which is more stable from numerical point of view, because in triangle all transformations are reversible, but in a four angle not all transformations are reversible. So this triangle grid are changing during collapse and maybe becoming very bad shape. And so these three elementary transformation make possible to preserve the quality of the grids and to follow very high density changes. So first one is that you change the one, eliminate one and include another line. So if it's very flat, then it's becoming more or less good. Second one is when you increase the number of grids, so you add additional two grids. And third one is when you eliminate two grids, and instead of four you have a two. So these three elementary procedure cover all cases. The very important problem is recalculation of values during the grid transformation, and this is the problem which was solved, which was investigated for a long time, and different possibilities have been used. So the final method is to make a reconstruction using the extremum of the functionals which is formed by the averages and direct values with account of energy and angular momentum conservation. Also, some additional conditions are used for magnetic field reconstruction. So this is a really important problem of how to reconstruct grids. Our first calculations have been for a collapse of uniform protostellar rotating protostellar cloud, which is related to the star formation. In our case, it was just to check the method and to start developing. But nevertheless, some interesting results have been obtained. Here is collapse and bounds of rather rapidly rotating and rather cold sphere, which is compressed to the rather flat pancake, and then after bounds it's exploded. But of course these explosions are very, very faint, so bounce is very small. But that's just an example. Here is also an example of how grid reconstruction is working. The number of grids in our best calculations have been up to 15,000 of triangles. But due to reconstruction, it was equivalent to Eulerian, well, two orders of more number of Eulerian grids. And here you see how the grid reconstruction, which is automatically done, happens here. This is a slow collapse, and then you'll see when rapid collapse will start, all grids will go inside. That's formation of a neutron star. And that's a reflection and formation of the shock. But that's only here the velocity are indicated, but that's only grid. It's no other values are indicated here. Here you see even more impressive case for just for central part, how central part the grids are accumulated inside. But at the same time, outside they are increasing the size of grids. And so total number remains almost the same. You may see here how the vortex-like motion appeared behind the shock. It's a case without magnetic field, so it's just vortex cases, pure hydrodynamical origin have these vortexes. So we started supernova from a study of rotating core supernova with more or less realistic physical conditions. It's a equation of state takes into account the degeneracy of electrons and neutrons, relativity for electrons, neutronization. Temperature effects have been taken into account more or less approximately by adding pressure of radiation and ideal gas. And neutrino losses and iron dissociation have also been taken into account because it's very important for damping of the shock, iron dissociation. We started from the cool white dwarf, not very cool, but some temperature degenerate, with mass 20% larger than the limiting mass of the white dwarf. So it's about 1.2 solar masses, 1.25. First, the collapse was considered without magnetic field, because we first decided to make a collapse because initial magnetic field was not very high. So during the collapse, the magnetic field amplification would not be important. So it was easier to form first the rapidly rotating neutron star and then to include magnetic field inside and start this twisting. So these are equations of motion which take into account neutrino losses, equation of state, energy equation with the iron, internal energy of iron are taken into account. The equation of state takes into account the more or less good neutron repulsion from Beta and Johnson paper, which was taken in the form of tables. These are tables from Beta Johnson and also Bain-Pettig Reventhal, or I don't remember. At least, so the cold equation of state was taken from the last, what is usually taken. But as I told, the thermal terms were considered approximately because they are not very important, and the pair formation, for example, changes this value not large, less than two times. And here the iron dissociation was considered happens in the interval between about 5, 10 to the 9 and 10 to the 10 degrees. The neutrino losses are mainly due to Urca processes, and they were on the nucleons, Urca losses. They were taken from Ivanov-Mshenik-Nadezhdin paper, but we have also taken into account all other neutrino processes from Salpeter et al. Paper, and then later was Schramm and other which with neutral currents, but they are not important. The Urca is always, they are less than 10%. So here the initial contour, which is you have already seen, these are the density contours. Here is about 3 × 10⁸ centimeter initial size. This is a maximum compression size. You see it's rotating, it's flattened. Here it's central part. And this is a rapidly rotating neutron star. It's formed. The formation of the shock is accompanied by vortex-like motion behind the shock. This vortex-like motion is pure hydrodynamical origin. It is not magnetic, not MRI, nothing else. And but this is important for mixing. On the phase of contraction, magnetic field is not high, so it is not important. But even pure hydrodynamical effects produce vortexes and produce mixing, and this mixing is very important for observational point of view, because in supernova 1987, you see that nickel is expelled, and this nickel should come from the central part of the collapsing core, and that means that you should have mixing on the stage of on some stage, which here is stage of formation of proto-neutron star. This is how mixing has happened. We plan to study this mixing in more detailed way, just marking some Lagrangian points and then following them, but it's not yet done. The result of these calculations is that shock wave does not produce supernova explosion. It is not surprising, because we tried to find such approximate parameters which practically give the same result as other calculations of this type, which use much more complicated physics of neutrino transport. Here we used the most simple neutrino treatment, flux limited approximation. So we made flux limit in such a way that it will not give any explosion. Our explosion was very weak, and it mainly due to surface conditions. So as a result, we have this rapidly rotating the differential rotating core. And the angular distribution of this core is, you see, it's very, very steep angular velocity distribution. The central part is rotating with the angular velocity corresponding to 1 millisecond, and but due to rapid dropping of angular velocity, the total angular momentum is much less, no, maybe several times less, maybe orders of magnitude less than the limiting angular momentum, when because the limiting angular momentum corresponds to the neutron star, a rigidly rotating neutron star with a period about half millisecond, and we have only 1 millisecond in the center. So this is not limiting case. There is a reserve of rotational energy still. From that point, we started included magnetic field. This equation of ideal magnetohydrodynamics, same physics with same equation of state, same neutrino emission and et al., but inclusion of magnetic field. This is a boundary conditions which have been used. We used two types of magnetic field, quadrupole-like and dipole-like magnetic field, and they give qualitatively different results. This is how we include magnetic field. It was impossible to use pure dipole or pure quadrupole because it's a divergence in the center. So we just make a, like LeBlanc and Wilson probably did, because they didn't describe it in detail. We put here the distribution of azimuthal current and calculated initial magnetic field from Biot-Savart law. I will discuss it in more detail later. This is a structure of the initial magnetic field which has a quadrupole light. To construct a quadrupole light, we need to have opposite signs of the current in two hemispheres, and to have a dipole field, we should have a same size. So first I'll speak about quadrupole light, because quadrupole, initial quadrupole magnetic field produces ejection of supernova, which seems more realistic because it produces ejection in the more or less in the equatorial plane, because radial components are maximum here in the near the equator and also here. So there are two main direction of the ejection, because only a radial component is twisting. This is distribution of magnetic field. So you see, we started from 410 to 12 Gauss, and maximum case was 2.5 10 to 16 Gauss toroidal field. You see the amplification here and here. It's just intermediate case. And this is how the explosion developed in time. You see in the center twisting and then such an explosion. That's how angular momentum is changing with time, specific angular momentum. It's also carried out. So in the center, star remains to rotate much slower than the initial. This is how the different kind of energies are changing in time. This particular variant corresponds to alpha equal 10 to minus 6, but I'll tell later about all interval of alpha, from very low to very high. So here you see that kinetic rotational energy going down, and the energy of explosion going up to about 6, 10 to 50 ergs. And what is important, what is very important and was unexpected in our calculation, is that magnetic field, you see, a poloidal magnetic field was practically constant because it's not amplified. But then it started to grow rapidly together with the toroidal magnetic field. And this is the result of magnetorotational instability, which happens in all this in two-dimensional case. here's how gravitational energy is changing, because the not only rotational energy but also gravitational energy is used for explosion, because when star a little bit contracted, gravitational energy is produced. Neutrino luminosity is not high, and neutrino emitted in this explosion is about orders of magnitude less than neutrino produced in the direct collapse. That's how ejected mass is evolved with time. It's a time in seconds. And this, well, it's ejected mass of the our core. This core, sorry? No, neutrino luminosity is neutrino luminosity during magnetorotational explosion. It's a very rather low value. Sorry. You mean this? Total losses. Not total losses. This is a calculation started from already collapsed neutron star. Hot neutron star, but was already formed. So the main losses come on the previous stage, which I described before. And these are remaining losses from some rotational part of rotational energy is also radiated in the form of neutrino, even more than explosions. So about 90% is emitted in neutrino, only 10% is producing the explosion. So that's how ejected energy and ejected mass. It's a mass of the collapsing core. It is of course clear that around there should be some kind of supergiant, very massive star, and this ejected layer, ejected shock, will go inside this very soft mass with small binding energy and produce visible supernova, which has lasted weeks and maybe months. And this is much larger. This is practically negligible, all this remaining. And here we see how magnetorotational instability changes qualitatively the results of this explosion in comparison with the one-dimensional case. In one-dimensional case, we have pure increase of time proportional to inverse square root of magnetic energy, so proportional to. But here we see that time is not growing strongly. So this corresponds to alpha 10 to minus 12, and this corresponds to alpha 10 to minus 6. But the change of time is only a few times. And all kind of energy. So you see that there is a point when this smooth increase of toroidal energy is terminated by very exponential growth. We relate it to rotational instability, not of the type which was discovered by Velikhov and then used by Balbus, but the one which was discussed by Spruit, Danji, Akiyama, and several other people. Holly also did it. So here what we have as a result. So the time is increasing proportional to square root of alpha, and then it goes linearly proportional to logarithm alpha. Time is proportional to logarithm alpha. Let us explain the nature of this magnetorotational stability. Here you see what kind of motion is developed when toroidal magnetic field exceeds some critical value. You see that the vortex-like motion is appeared, vortex-like. The color reflect the strength of magnetic field. So when magnetic field is increasing, the velocity, vortex velocity, is increasing proportionally. And that leads to the following result. Here is toy model which is explain this. So at some magnetic field, which is defined by star, the vortex motion started, which amplify initial poloidal magnetic field. And this amplification is proportional to this value, which is gradient of angular velocity of the vortex, which we considered linear. This gradient, in turn, depends on the difference between actual toroidal field and limiting one. So it's proportional, increased proportional. But the phi component of the magnetic field is fills all poloidal field, not only initial, but all poloidal field. So it starts to increase proportional to this value, hr. So as a result, you have a pure exponential growth of both components of magnetic field. But this exponential growth is related to small scale. So vortexes are of different scales, so in all these vortexes, the magnetic field is increasing. But the magnetic flux does not increase. So this is not dynamo, but this is a pure magnetorotational instability which increase chaotic component of both components of magnetic field. Now, as I have told, the quadrupole-like magnetic field produces explosion mainly in the equatorial plane. So it's like a barrel-like supernova. Remnants can be explained in this way. For example, Crab is also have ratio about 1.5, as I remember. But that dipole-like magnetic field is gives you completely different topology of explosion. It's a topology which is was discovered by Leblanc and Wilson, which is based on this. So in Leblanc-Wilson case, they had magnetic field here outside, and we have magnetic field coming from inside. But the result is similar. This is how velocity field is developed. You see, the velocity started to form here and gives you mild ejection along the axis, along the rotational axis, which is coincide with the magnetic axis. That's how the entropy is evolving behind the shock. The shock is developed here. It also goes upstream. And this angular momentum distribution. Everything is going along the axis. But the energy characteristics of the explosion practically does not change. The energy was about 5, 10 to 50. In previous case, we have 6, 10 to 50. Here, ejected mass is a little bit larger than 0.14. So practically the same. Only the time increased several times. Time was, here it was 0.3. Here is about 1 second. So this is everything what I would want to tell you about calculations. Now there are some qualitative speculations about possibility to obtain rapidly moving pulsars in magnetorotational explosion. Usually, these So at the beginning, it was based on parity violation in weak interaction, CP violation. But this effect is very, very low. So it doesn't give you any big. In some calculations, neutrino is emitted anisotropically because of development of instability, which I suspect it's pure numerical, have pure numerical origin, like in Barrow's calculations, his neutron star become cool, like something terrible, like a toy. But here there is another mechanism which is seems to be more realistic based on magnetorotational effects. First of all, there could be violation of mirror symmetry of magnetic field, because if you have initial symmetric case like symmetric toroidal field and asymmetric, not asymmetric but axially symmetric poloidal, like dipole plus, then at the result when this field will be amplified, the amplified field will have different sign in both hemispheres, and when it combining with the initial one, it will lead to asymmetrical magnetic field. This asymmetric magnetic field will lead to asymmetric magnetorotational explosion, and up to 300 kilometers per second can be obtained. Of course, we can have a initially asymmetric field, like combination of dipole and quadrupole, then it will be asymmetric, and it also will lead to asymmetrical magnetorotational explosion. There is another important case, because neutrino carries away 10 or 20% of rest mass. Even very small dependence of neutrino cross-section on the magnetic field can lead to very important results. So I have estimated this effect and obtained that up to 1 or 2,000 kilometers per second can be reached due to asymmetric neutrino emission, pure based on asymmetry of the magnetic field. But for that, magnetic field should be much more than a critical field, which is about 10 to 14. So it means we have here 10 to 16, and it's quite enough for producing rapidly rotating stuff, rapidly rotating pulses. So the conclusion are the following, that magnetorotational explosion mechanism give efficient transformation about 10%. What is enough seems to be enough for explanation of core collapse supernova from rapidly rotating magnetized neutron star. Development of magnetorotational instability strongly accelerate magnetorotational explosion at lower values of initial magnetic field. So the explosion is never long, it's always about 1 second. During 1 second the explosion happens. The newborn neutron star has inside very large chaotic component of magnetic field, but outside you should see the initial poloidal magnetic field, maybe 10 to 12. Jet formation is possible for dipole-like initial topology of the field, which is possibly related to cosmic gamma ray bursts, and equatorial ejection happens in quadrupole-like component when it's more important, and it's more better explains observations of supernova remnants. And breaking of equatorial symmetry due to magnetic field can lead to non-one-side effects, producing of one-side jets and formation of rapidly moving pulses. Thank you very much. We are now. Yes, I think that qualitatively we will not have any changes in the from point of view of explosion energy or time of development of the instability. But what we can have as a result, we have amplification of the large scale field. Some kind of dynamic effects may produce it. But no, it's pressure. It's pressure, mainly pressure. Twisting.
Yeah. And my question is, there any limit imposed by the American on the amount of
precipitation? I don't know. Seems to me not.
So you can magnetic energy can.
Yeah, but we don't know what happens in the infinity, but up to the moment when explosion happens, nothing special is prevents.
Right. So basically, how much you can amplify the field, depends on how many times the magnetic field can change size on the grid. And this is determined by the number of cells.
Yes. Yeah, you cannot increase magnetic energy more than local thermal energy because it will be it will expand. So this is but from point of view of
no.
Yes, that's true. Your question may be important if you will have an infinite source of energy. But in our calculation, we didn't find any problems connected with numerical. I don't know. We didn't find it.
I can come up with a very simple estimate, but they could be wrong. Let's suppose you can increase the number of alterations in magnetic field by a factor of 10. And to me, it would, well, I can say that all that. Therefore, the radial component of the field will be amplified by a factor of 10. So the polarizable field will be amplified by a factor of 10. And the energy will be amplified by a factor of 100. Right?
No, in our case. No, sorry. In our case, polarizable energy was exactly constant during the amplification time until magnetic rotational instability started. I have shown this. So it was constant. It, no numerical spoiling of this. What do you say? What remains? What remains the neutron star, which rotates about 10 times less rapid than at the beginning, which it loses about 90% of its rotational angular momentum, and it's rather hot and with a smooth distribution of angular momentum. Magnetic field remains outside, remains the same, the same quadrupole magnetic field remains the same. But inside, you have large, many chaotic field appears. Chaotic components of both components. Outside, it remains quadrupole. If we start from quadrupole, it remains quadrupole. Exactly.
If you say about gamma radius, what is the velocity of the eject along the axis when you have that?
In our case, velocities are about 10,000 of kilometers per second. I don't know what happens later. What we have as a result of calculations is that we have velocities which are comparable to what is observed in supernova. But maybe there will be some conditions if steep gradients increasing up to relativistic cases, that possible, but we have not come to this stage. Neutrino transport, as I told you, it was taken very approximately. We considered some kind of flux limited method when I don't know if it's written, when the flux of transparent from transparent neutrino was limited by the exponential multiplier e in the power of minus tau neutrino, and tau neutrino was calculated basing on the gradient on the local gradient of density, and here this tau is was chosen in such a way because it's not pure tau, it's about one tenth of such a normal tau, because first of all there are several kinds of neutrino, and so this is flux limit approximation was used, and this is local neutrino luminosity. Neutrino at such high magnetic field, the neutrino cross section is increasing proportional to h linearly. So neutrino cross section, for example, neutrino decay of neutron, it was calculated exactly the paper of in Nature in 69 or so. It was shown that neutrino decay probability is proportional to h at h larger than 10 to 14. And basing on this, we also can imagine that all processes at a large magnetic field are becoming more intensive. No, but here we have a Urca process. It means that all neutrinos are produced by capturing and emitting of nucleus. And this is exactly the process of these processes is neutron decay. But neutron decay is, of course, not important here, but capture of neutrons by positrons is more important. But I can imagine that dependence of magnetic field remains the same in all weak interaction processes, including neutrinos. So it's increasing. This was how we made a conclusion about asymmetric neutrino, because when magnetic field is very large, neutrino opacity is increasing, and neutrino is emitted in opposite case. So neutron star is accelerated in the direction of the higher magnetic field, because neutrino flux goes in opposite direction where opacity is lower. Some kind of jet, yes. But it's not really jet, it's a neutrino flux, asymmetric distribution of neutrino flux. It's an interesting question, we did not investigate. But it could be true, yes. No justification. You can suggest any field, we can try.
Okay.
Thank you.